listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. The Dropkick Murphys bring us back here on a St. Patrick's Day edition of Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan O'Zagurahan and Vic McCarucci with you for the up until 3.
I like that. That's nice.
Up until 3 o'clock today.
O'Zagura.
Talk free agency. We do want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. If you want to talk about free agency, what do you think of the moves that have been made? Ben Tate now officially a Brown. We didn't get to talk about it since it went down over the weekend, of course. So we want to hear from you about that. Any moves left that you want to see? And Vic, let me ask you before we go to a phone call. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie's name, the Browns have been reported as being, quote-unquote, lurking in the DRC sweepstakes. Right. And obviously, I think when I look at the team, what I see left as the biggest needs for this team are quarterback, wide receiver, guard, one more inside linebacker, I think, and a corner, a number two corner in this league. Now,
those are the needs.
They've done a very good job of addressing a lot of these things already through free agency.
Right.
They still can do more. But the draft, don't forget, people, there are 10 picks in this draft that will certainly address some of these needs. As you see it with Rodgers-Cromartie, knowing what he turned down from Denver, which I believe was six years, $54 million, structured really as a one-year deal, though, to be fair, in terms of the guaranteed money, I think he would be a great addition to this team. The price and economics would have to be right to not throw off what you want to do with Joe Hayden, also not throw off what you want to do and have stored for the long term with your salary cap flexibility.
Well, that would be the thing. It's all about the numbers, and I don't see the numbers right now working out the way they would need to for the Browns. Just look at what they did with Ben Tate. They addressed it. Now, that's a different market. It's the running back market, but it's still reflective of what you do a week into free agency. Those are the kind of deals you sign. It's hard for me to see this team, and I think the last I saw reported was 33.7 or so million under the cap with 69 players signed. I think
69 players
signed.
So that means there's really more money than that.
They're right. So you've got to, if you work with that, and that's an NFL Players Association figure, and you never really get the real thing, although, but that sounds about right if you did the math with what's been added since it was reported between, 46 and 50 prior to free agency. I think, and that factors in, by the way, Alex Mack, the
10 million, right.
Yeah, 10 million for him, the 10 million plus for him as a tagged player, as a transitional tag player. So I think when you look at how they've gone about business, a name like Cromartie's and the salary that he's seeking and where he wants to be commensurate with other cornerbacks in the league is not going to be a number that the Browns realistically would go for now. I think what you're doing with him is you're waiting to see where the market goes and where he would see the market going, and then would he be inclined to take something less to be part of any team, and are there teams that are ready to pounce on him that would pay him a little more? I have a sense that a team that's closer to
Giants would pay
more because they're closer to competition and would slot out that one spot for him. The Browns, keep in mind, are going to reserve a good portion of this remaining cap number for Joe Hayden, for Josh Gordon, for Jordan Cameron, for Jabal Sheard.
Sure.
As time goes on, they're not all going to be done this offseason, but they're going to be done.
Right. Hayden's probably won't impact the cap that much because his cap number is already around $9 million this year. But you're absolutely right going forward. Jabal Sheard, Jordan Cameron, and Josh Gordon, who combined right now make about $4.5 million. The three of them are going to be making significantly more than that in the near future. So, yes, that's why you got to keep this flexibility and you can't go through it. Remember, teams don't win by overspending in free agency. I think so far the Browns have been smart about it. I think the guys that they got, that you have age issues with or at least concerns about, are really on two-year deals. If they happen to be good and stay here longer than that, phenomenal. If not, you're hopefully grooming and building their replacements into your thinking going forward.
I think it's fair to say the spending has been mostly on the conservative side.
Yes,
it has,
which is good.
Right. These aren't outrageous. There have been some outrageous contracts or whatever the term is, big splash contract numbers out there from other teams. Browns haven't done that yet. So
And the Ben Tate one is being praised heavily around the league. Let's go to Tony on a cell. Tony, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Hey, Vic, this is a no-brainer at all. Who you got to draft? You got to draft Sammy Watkins. You know for sure what you're getting. You're getting a star. He's a guy that's going to catch the football. He's going to score points, and he's a guy that when you score points, you win football games. Now, these quarterbacks, you don't know for sure what they're going to be. They can all three be busts or what, but when you sign Sammy Watkins, you know what you've got.
Well, I think there's still, and I appreciate your point.
Don't be that guy.
But as his coach said. But, Tony, here's the thing. There's risk there, too. I mean, I know there's probably bigger risk associated with a quarterback. Not probably. There is bigger risk associated with a quarterback because it's the quarterback position, because it defines it's your biggest move and it defines everything you're doing from that point forward. But that said, Watkins, anybody you take it for, and especially I think a receiver, has got to be amazing for you right off the bat. You said you know what you're getting. I don't know if I know what I'm getting until I see it, until I see a receiver transition to the NFL, a receiver who did most of his production, about 60% of it, off of screen catches that he turned into long runs after the game. Can the Browns replicate that totally in their offense? No, they won't, because it doesn't work as effectively in the NFL that many times. But I think he's a dynamic player. To the thing I would say that would support your point is that if I've got more questions about quarterbacks than anything else, under the anything else category, this would not be the bad choice to go with it for. But I still would have confidence that I could get a receiver even at 26 that I would love, or in the second round that I would love.
Right, there are a lot of good receivers in this draft. And in fact, people are going through and talking about wide receivers being drafted in the third round this year that most likely would have been drafted in the 20s of the first round in previous years. Guys, if you want to look at Dante Moncrief, you want to take a look at Martavius Bryant, these are guys who could go in that third round range that certainly have plenty of upside and plenty of potential to be very good number two receivers in the NFL, certainly working opposite Josh Gordon. Keith in Akron, what's up, brother?
Hey, I just started to hear the last couple of days some people talking about the Browns draft that are actually making sense. Drafting a quarterback that you don't think is ready at four doesn't fit the Browns. If you look at their quarterbacks that have figured in the playoffs since the early 60s, it's been guys with brains. That's what I think they need to find, is a quarterback with a head on his shoulders.
If that's the criteria that you want in your quarterback, I think that the scouts would agree at this point that that's Teddy Bridgewater in terms of pre-snap reads, his ability to dissect, understand defenses, his ability, the freedom he was given at Louisville to make audibles in a pro-style offense. That's Teddy Bridgewater.
That's the book on him.
That's what he does. That's the skill that he has better than the other people in this draft. Daniel in College Station, welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Love the show, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I know we've been moving away from this direction for a while, but being in the College Station area, I've also I've had the opportunity to watch Johnny Football work his magic for the last couple of years. This is what I've been thinking. As I've been watching over the last couple of years in the draft, there is no one position that is more safe of a pick.
There are no sure things.
Whether you look at the first two tackles that were taken last year, or are you talking about the Dolphins grab, the defensive tackle out of Oregon, or maybe it was a linebacker?
Outside linebacker.
And you talk about D. Milliner, the defensive back out of Alabama. None of them really had fantastic seasons. So there's really no surefire thing. I would say go for the guy that probably has the most upside, even if he has to sit for a year or even 2 years, because you're talking about your long-term development. If you go for just the guy who's probably the safest pick, you're probably going to get a guy who may have less upside and still may not be that safe of a pick after all.
Yeah, that's a fair analysis, and that's why a name like a Greg Robinson will start coming into the conversation too, because that's a tackle. Even, again, his point about tackles not necessarily being the safest, but they fall under that category of safer picks than quarterbacks, receivers.
And that's also why I introduced the notion of perhaps a trade down from four. Not far down, but there are teams that were going to want to jump from the 8 area to 4 to get the guy they want, because if they think that one of those top 5 players on the board, those elite guys, are there. Because the best evaluators in the National Football League like to say they hit on 50% of their picks. Maybe right. 60 would be exceptional. So yeah. getting
500 turning about as good as it gets.
Turning an asset like the Browns have at four, if they aren't in love with somebody, into multiple assets increases your chances of success again, which is a good thing for this team. So yes. we will see how it goes. That's what's getting exciting about this. And you know what? If Teddy Bridgewater's pro day puts some doubt out there, great, because maybe he falls even further than people thought. And if that turns out to be a guy you want, you can trade back up and go get him. We'll see. What the Browns do will be very, very interesting. But the one thing you know, this team is going to be more talented on the field this year than it was last year, and it won't be even close.
No, I think there's reason to feel optimistic about what they've done. I mean, I'm like everyone else. I do want to see it to believe it. I just won't go by names on paper right now. But I like the plan. I like the way it's shaping up. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns. Browns Radio Network is going to be with us next. We'll cover a lot of the ground that we've been covering with him, get his thoughts on Teddy Bridgewater, among other things, as you're listening to a St. Patrick's Day edition of CBD. Vic and Nathan, ESPN 850, WKNR.